Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for being with me. I appreciate your time. There's a lot of things we have to definitely talk about. For once, one of the stories I'd like to talk about, Joe Biden said his uncle got cannibalized by Papua New Guinea, Pacific Nation Island. And I don't know how they feel about this whole thing. Shoot, the uncle got eaten. Anywho, that's one of the stories I'd like to talk about. And also, let's talk about what they passed in the House of Representatives, and they were cheering more money for Ukraine. We need to talk about that also. And if time permits, we'll go into more stories. And but one of the stories I think that is giving headlines is that of Joe Biden suggested that his uncle was likely eaten by cannibals. And, well, the headlines are really going against what he's saying. None of it obviously seems to be coherent. How is the West Asian embracing this whole news that uncle got eaten? And is it true? Let's look into that. But let's hear from Joe Biden himself. Don't think I'm making this up. Check this out.
Got shot down in New Guinea. However, he was never found because he said there used to be a lot of cannibals in the region.
And my uncle, they called him Ambrose Bosie, they called him Bosie. My uncle Bosie was a hell of an athlete. They tell me when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He was one of those single engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. They got shot down in New Guinea, and they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
Well, I feel bad for the uncle that got eaten, but I don't understand this whole. And one of the things that you're going to hear a lot from Joe Biden is his lavish ways of telling the stories. And when he over delivers a story, he should know better than to tell stories like this because there's going to be people going and doing their work and researching the stories. But this whole idea that his uncle die because he got eaten. That's been proven not true. However, the critics, locals of the area, are really not happy about the story. Well, here's something I pulled out at the Daily Mail is they say they wouldn't just eat any white man to fall from the sky. Outrageous Papua New Guinea academics lash out at Biden's unacceptable suggestion the cannibals ate his World War II pilot uncle. Obviously, the story is giving a lot to say. I go to this whole lavish ways of embellishing story to sometimes we forget that this guy lies for reasons of his own ego. What else would you lie about something like that? I mean, why would you say this outrageous story? I mean, it's not the very first time that he says a story so outrageous. Like the time he said that the conductor of a train, he knew him very well. And end up being that the conductor was not there, and well, you know, the whole point of this story is that he's representing the US and he's representing it in a negative way. And here is Australia making a joke about this whole thing. Check this out.
S. Panahi, hey, so have I got a great tasty little story for you. It's all about Joe Biden and cannibals and xenophobia and a credulous media that simply refuses to do its fact-checking job of anything the Democrat president says.
Oh, by the way, that was from Sky News, again, Australian news. And the way he presented it, a tasty little story for you. Well, he wouldn't be wrong on being tasty due to the fact that Joe Biden said his uncle got eaten. But went to check this out from Karine Jean-Pierre, the House, White House press secretary, how she was trying to get the story out of the equation somehow. But you know what? My words are not enough. Check this out.
Why is President Biden saying that his uncle Bozy was eaten by cannibals?
Look, I was there. I think you traveled with us too to Pennsylvania. I'm not sure if you were there at the memorial in Scranton. The president had a emotional and I think a symbolic moment.
Wow, very symbolic indeed. Oh my God. Very symbolic. Eaten by cannibals. Of course it's going to be very symbolic. And wouldn't you think that the rest of the world be looking, listening, checking things out, especially this president that has been dragging the nation throughout the world? Not only bad, but very, very bad situations. And anyways, let you to hear the last quote from the press secretary. Check this out.
Why is he saying that his uncle was eaten by cannibals? That is a bad way to go.
He lost his life. It's not, look, it's, I'm not, we should not make jokes about
it's
this.
Not,
wait.
President Biden said that his uncle was eaten by cannibals.
I mean, your last line, it's for a laugh. It's for a funny statement. And he takes this very seriously. His uncle, who served and protected this country, lost his life serving. And that should matter.
Now, she's claiming that it's the fault of the press to ask questions of what the president's, the way he himself said him. Like, why? No other way to defend the president, so we're going to have to blame the press. That's the way she's going with it. Anywho, let's move forward into this amazing amount of money given now again to Ukraine. I'm going to be reading from Reuters. This is Washington's, the U.S. House of Representatives on Saturday, that was the 20th, with broad bipartisan support passed a $95 billion legislative package providing security assistance to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan over bitter objections from Republican hardliners. The legislation now proceeds to the Democratic majority Senate, which passed a similar measure more than 2 months ago. U.S. leaders from Democratic President Joe Biden to top Senate Republican Mitch McConnell had been urging embattled Republicans House Speaker Mike Johnson to bring it up for vote. Obviously, it passed. What we need to understand, I think, is why more money. We continue to ask the question, why is it that you guys want to send more money? And some might say, no, they don't send money, they send weapons. Well, I understand that they send weapons, but who's paying for that? That $95 billion is not coming out of, you know, a big fund. It's more money that the U.S. is borrowing to fund these things. While the criticism in here is that there's open big borders and there's homelessness all over the place, and we have some bridges collapsing, and we have some roads that need to be fixed. seems like the money keeps on going out and not being spent at home, but outside. I continue to think of this analogy. How is it possible that you bring in $1,000 home and you're spending $3,000? It makes no sense. No wonder the country is in such a debt of $34 trillion and counting. And at this rate, obviously, I don't understand how we continue to operate business with such a debt just to pay the loans, you know. Let me remind you that we owe about $1.3 trillion to China. And so there's no way, looking at that, that we're going to be cutting ties with China, even if we wanted to. There's no way. Impossible. Owing that much money. Now, I do remember that China sold some of that to Japan, and we pay an interest on that money to Japan. Whether we pay it to Japan, whether we pay it to China, the fact of the matter is that we owe the money, and we continue to putting our monies somewhere other than the house. Let's see what the press has to say about this. Check this out. You're going to be hearing from Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Let's see.
Primary adversaries, Russia and Iran and China, are working together, and they're being aggressors around the globe. And they're a global threat to our prosperity and our security. Their advance threatens their free world, and it demands American leadership. If we turn our backs right now, the consequences could be devastating. So this afternoon, the House acted. We sent over to the Senate, and it will be transmitted shortly, our supplemental national security legislation. And make no mistake, this is not a blank check like the Senate supplemental bill was. This is very different. Instead of taking the path of least resistance and bringing up the Senate supplemental on the House floor, or just allowing a discharge petition to pursue, which come forward, which would have had the same outcome, we gave our members a voice. We gave them a chance. We gave them a better process and ultimately a much better policy. Unlike this number of very important features, it provides for greater accountability over Ukraine aid. It forces an in-game strategy for the Ukraine war. It includes a loan instrument of this foreign aid to Ukraine and the Repo Act to ensure that Russian assets pay for part of the bill. And unlike the Senate's bill, the loan system itself is a House innovation and allows for much needed insight. Now remember that 80% of the Ukraine funding will go to the replenishment of American weapons and stocks and our facilities and our operations.
Okay. Let's see what's in the bill. The bill includes $60 billion to support Ukraine in the fight against Russia. Okay. $40.1 billion in security assistance for Israel. $9.2 billion in humanitarian assistance. And $4.8 billion to support regional partners in the Indo-Pacific region, which is Taiwan, by the way, in addition to other policy provisions, according to the Senate's Appropriations Committee. This is what Johnson told reporters on Tuesday, and you probably heard what he said. It's not a check. No. We're going to do it in a different way. Somehow, somewhere over the rainbow, Russia's going to pay for some of it. Well, shoot, you know. Keep on thinking, wishing things, and someday, one day, over the rainbow again, it will come true. I think that's the way the policy is going. Put everything on a wishful thinking, and it will come true. And we'll continue to see this rainbow keep on going over a lot of clouds. That seems to be the way. You got to translate this whole billions and billions of dollars they're spending. I don't know how to explain it. No, the one thing I don't understand, and this is where it puzzles a lot that are in the Republican Party, is why are these Republicans allowing this to happen? I've talked about this. This is the way I think. This is the way I assume things, but that doesn't mean they're true. That somehow they're getting some sort of break. I don't see that a real, clear, cohesive understanding of how they do it and why they're doing it for. You really think that Russia is going to be defeated by Ukraine with all the weapons you keep on sending when Russia continues to gain more territory and when Russia continues to gain the support? And I've said it before, if Russia really wanted to beat Ukraine, they would. They would. They've not used 100% of their army. Massive amount of people in Russia because they have massive land. Ukraine is not that big. And we seen that this president has canceled, I mean, President of Ukraine canceled the elections. Last I heard, they had a democracy. That seems to be the word of the day, of the year, of the decade, because everybody seems to just throw that democracy around. And I want to play a clip about this whole Republicans and Democrats agreeing to this insanity of money. I don't agree. It doesn't fit in my head. I just can't comprehend it. I want you to hear this from the Tucker Carlson Network. Check this out.
Jesse Kelly goes off on Tucker Carlson and says, the Republican Party, they do nothing. That's their job, their controlled opposition. I strongly agree. Let's look. That it's already being destroyed. It just looks dirtier than it did 2 years ago, because it is. Why has he done nothing? What's his excuse?
He's a Republican. That's what Republicans do. Republicans do nothing. Republicans have been in charge for I don't know how long of managing the decline. I mean, look, it's not exactly a new insult to call the Republican Party controlled opposition. But let's be frank. That's
By the way, this is Jesse Kelly's, and he's basically complaining about what the Republicans Party is doing. And it goes back to this whole gimmick of money, because it's in a good idea, or is it in very way to help Ukraine? This is not enough money. And let's continue listening to him.
Even Joseph Stalin allowed an opposition party. A lot of people don't realize this. He allowed, encouraged, and in fact funded an opposition party to give the people of the Soviet Union an illusion of choice. Oh, no, these guys are against me. Wow, it's pretty scary. But somehow they never end up accomplishing any of their anti-Stalin.
Do you catch what he said? So even Stalin did it. And I think this is where we presently are, and the reason why this, we call it in some places a uniparty, it's Republicans and Democrats alike, where you think that they are not alike, but they are, and they are by their what they're doing, their actions, their fruits. In the Bible, it tells us that they'll know them by their fruits. You'll know if somebody is really who they are by their fruits, or what they're giving, what they're showing, what they're doing. And here we are thinking that the Republican Party is part of the right. But then when you give them their votes, they go and vote towards this nonsense stuff. One could probably say that Mike Johnson and Nancy Pelosi are one and the same. And the way we see it is because the way that you're spending the money. One would say that Mike Johnson is the one taking care of the budget, but he's not. He's spending quite a lot of money. And these are one of the things that a lot of Republicans, well, a minority of Republicans, that like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is protesting about this whole idea of giving money to Ukraine. I mean, Kevin McCarthy was kicked out because of the same reasons. And so Marjorie Taylor is saying to Mike Johnson, well, you keep on doing these things, we're going to boot you out because you continue to play the double side edge of the sword. It's no difference. Anywho, let me continue on with this interesting chat with Tucker Carlson.
Joseph Stalin allowed an opposition party. A lot of people don't realize this. He allowed, encouraged, and in fact funded an opposition party to give the people of the Soviet Union an illusion of choice. Oh, no, no, these guys are against me. Wow, it's pretty scary, but somehow they never end up accomplishing any of their anti-Stalin goals. We're constantly told the Republican Party is going to fight for us and protect the border, and we'll cut your taxes, and we'll be pro-life, and we'll protect the family. Yet none of these things ever seem to materialize. They all talk about it during election season. I'll build the wall. And then you get there, and you get 25 feet of wall and a bunch of excuses. Greg Abbott, look, that's his excuse. He's a Republican. That's what they all are. That's why I'm an anti-communist.
Yeah, and let's just be honest. I mean, obviously, I'm fervently rooting for Trump over Biden for many, many reasons. But Trump was president for 4 years, and he didn't even build a defensive border wall. Didn't. And I don't care. We can lie about that, but that's just a fact. So the idea that he's going to deport 10 million people is just don't lie to me.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think you get the gist of it. Seems to me that these 2024 election is coming with eye openers for a lot that, like myself, that think that things are going to change if Donald Trump does come in into power. I will say that things definitely will change, but I will pick Donald Trump over Biden a lot better policy wise. And so, but when it comes down to these things, I don't know. I don't know. You can see it. They're all voting for the same things. And it's creating a sour flavor in your mouth. I'm going to leave it here. And go check out Tucker Carlson's interview. I think it's going to be amazing. It's a good one. It's not that long. It's about 20 minutes or so. Anywho, thank you so much for being with me. Appreciate your time. Once more time, I'll catch you soon. Till next time. Bye-bye.